very slowly. And I'm not surprised, and I'm certainly happy to talk about the whys for that, but we don't have any at this point that have officially applied. However, I've heard from at least one that plans to apply, and I believe there will be one or two more that we will get applications from by the deadline, which I believe was January 19th, and we're still about a week away. So I do expect to get a few. However, the good news is, in this community, I think there's an overall general sense that public education in McLean County is very good. So you don't have people that are running up to get applications because they see there's a problem. And it's a commitment to serve on boards, whether it's a board of education or any board for a nonprofit organization. It's a lot of work. It's a commitment to do your homework, to stay informed, to come to meetings, to participate fully. And that's a big commitment for someone to make. So I wouldn't want anybody to take it lightly. But I agree with you. I think there's fewer and fewer that seem willing to do that. I would also say that the general public media attention across the country has been skewed to the negative on public education in recent years, at least. And I think that probably plays a role in people just not having an interest in getting involved. But I am encouraged by organizations like the Multicultural Leadership Program that really work to mold leaders in this community. You've got the Chamber that has a program that does that as well. So there are organizations out there that you can look to try to help promote those leaders in the community.
Is the aging issue shared by you as it is by city and county government bodies?
I don't think so, only because it's one of those things where with school districts, you tend to at least get some parents rise up from the ranks to serve in those roles because they're already serving in PTOs, booster clubs, and those are natural progressions to help move somebody into a board of it, role of a board member. It's just that we're seeing fewer willing to do that. So I don't necessarily think we're going to have to tap retirees or to get someone to serve on a board. However, the numbers overall in general, the last couple cycles where we've had to fill have been less than I would have hoped for.
Is it also a workplace issue? People don't have as much time because there are more people who are stretched in their careers.
Sure. That certainly could play a role in it. You can look to our own profession in education, how we seem to have had more and more added to our plates, doing more with less, and that gets translated to teachers, administrators as well. And I think that's probably true of other professions where they're trying to stretch the dollars, and instead of hiring folks, in some cases, they're just adding more to others' plates.
We're now hearing that a state budget may not come till after the March primary, and GOP Senate Leader Christine Redonio said this week, maybe not for several years if things don't change. Okay, what would that do to you?
Well, we're in better shape than my university and college colleagues right now who don't have any state funding coming.
Because you did have that section of the budget
approved, but that's no guarantee
that it would
happen
again.
Sure, absolutely. I don't share the pessimism that she presented. I do think that eventually we will have a budget. They probably should just move forward and work on the 17 instead of the 16 budget. If, in a worst-case scenario, our district has built up appropriate fund balances to weather a storm that could be even as significant as that, and partly because not only have we built those fund balances, but even though we get a significant amount of dollars from the state, our reliance is much heavier on the local side than it is the state side. So we're not living day to day like some districts out there are, waiting on our state dollars. We do have money in the bank. we still can do some things to reduce our expenses. Those things would be very drastic, but we haven't done those. I'll give you one example. We have full-day kindergarten. That's not required. We could go back to a half-day kindergarten program and save us probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 million. Would anyone want to do that? Absolutely not. But when you get to dire times, such as what you're describing, those are the kinds of things that we would have to consider doing to keep those fund balances from being depleted totally. So for the short term, we could weather that kind of storm, although we would significantly deplete our fund balances.
Last fall, schools in the district installed bullying hotlines to allow anonymous reporting of bullying behavior. There were initial concerns of a flood of false reports, perhaps. How is it being used? How is it working out?
It's going very well. That concern never came to fruition, thankfully. We have had, I wouldn't say a number of calls to the hotline, but it certainly has been utilized. A lot of times it's in the form of a text message that comes to the district. It's scrambled in such a way that we do not know where that call is coming from, but it also allows us to communicate back to the person who's making the call, because in some cases we might need some additional information or some clarification to help us get to the root of the issue. I just noticed we had one today. Now, I'm one who gets all of the hotline calls. My building principals will only get those that are specific to their building. At this point, we've had every building that has had at least one call come in. It's been very helpful in helping our principals follow up and resolve some issues. It's another way for kids and parents to do it anonymously in a way that helps make them feel comfortable. So I would say it's been a success at this point, and it hasn't been something that has burdened us by any means.
Have they been substantiated?
In some cases, absolutely. Some are very minor things that we can take just a little bit of proactive steps on. Others have been significant. Some have been just a concern about a student. We followed up, and the concern was appreciated, but really there wasn't an issue there. But in all cases, we've been able to follow up and address the situation. There really hasn't been one that I could point to that didn't allow us to do that. We've had a couple of calls that have come in from someone outside of the community getting a wrong number, and we've been able to follow up and just alert them to that. But the kids and the students are using it very well.
What have a couple of these substantiated incidents that are serious involved?
We had one where there was concern about someone who might be suicidal, and in that case, we were able to quickly locate that individual and get help for the parents and that kid. I think that was pretty substantial. Another one involved some bullying type of behavior that might have led to a significant physical altercation that we were able to intervene and stop that from happening. But most are smaller acts of what someone might report as some bullying type behaviors happening on a bus or in a classroom that weren't necessarily known to the administrator, the teacher, the bus driver, that we were able to intervene in very short order and solve it in very simple ways, such as moving kids apart in certain areas, that sort of thing, doing some conflict resolution. For the most part, you're seeing more of those types of phone calls than the more serious ones.
What other tweaks to anti-bullying policies do you envision going forward?
I don't have any that we feel that we need to put out there right now, although you're seeing things in the news centered on transgender issues in particular. You're sometimes seeing policies that are being crafted around those issues. We have not adopted a separate one because we think it's covered very well in terms of harassment and bullying already. So you might see more in the future centered on those areas. But I think those policy-wise, those things are covered quite thoroughly and well in handbooks and board policies. It will always evolve in terms of, you know, maybe we get some different technology to help more anonymous reporting, that sort of thing. And we constantly will work on doing some conflict resolution, perhaps some restorative justice type of disciplinary consequences you'll see down the road, especially with the change in the discipline law that will go into effect next fall. So I think that might be a bigger issue that you'll see down the road.
Barry Riley is the superintendent of District 87 schools in Bloomington. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks, Charlie.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.